Hiya, here I am reading part two of round four. Round four only has two parts, so this is the final part. And this is about an incident that took place when I was 10 years old and had just moved to St. Louis. The same year we moved to St. Louis, when Elaine was 15, my mom ventured to go out of town for a weekend retreat geared towards stress reduction. If those aren't famous last words, I don't know what are. She chose to take this little vacation by herself during a time when we were also queuing at food banks for groceries. My mother's income, combined with a large amount of child support my father paid, should have sustained us just fine, but my mother was addicted to shopping for herself. She left us home alone with Elaine in charge, despite the fact that the two of them couldn't say a civil word to each other. We had a fully stocked kitchen and the phone numbers to call in case of emergency. But Elaine, with all the wisdom that one has accumulated by 15 years of age, delved into our mom's jewelry box and took the spare set of keys to her car, left parked in the driveway. Of course, taking our mother's car was not only disobedient to an extreme, but it was also illegal, given that my sister did not hold a license. We'd both been taught the rudiments of driving on our grandparents' land, but she was not experienced. Understandably, I suppose, the temptation of that car was too much for her to resist. Elaine had it all planned before Carol even left the house. Elaine and her friends wanted to go out driving for the night, and they were taking the car, wise or not. What they were not taking was Elaine's little sister. Elaine didn't think I should be left home alone, so she dropped me off at a local roller skating rink on her way out, heedless of my distressed protests from the back seat. I was quite terrified she would come to harm, and in addition, I didn't want to be dropped off in a strange place alone. Not to mention, I couldn't skate and had no money. But Elaine would not be thwarted. She never would be when she wanted something. She was ruthless. I was ejected from the car and told she'd be back for me later. They drove off. It was nighttime. It was dark. I went inside. I spent the night at the rink in various states of awkwardness, anxiety, and terror. Everyone was part of a happy family group, and I was outside of it all. I felt acutely alone and embarrassed by the stares directed at me from time to time. I became paranoid that the people who worked at the rink would demand I leave if I didn't pay and skate. I found a quiet booth in the corner and curled up in it, trying to make myself as invisible as possible, and dwelt on the troubles that were facing me that night. I knew Elaine was damned one way or another, and I wondered how far down with her I was going to go, if I'd even get home alive at all, which I was beginning to doubt. Would I be kidnapped? Thrown on the street? Would Elaine be killed in a car crash? Would we both be on the way home? What would our mother do? As the night wore on, skaters began to filter out and the music stopped playing. The roller rink was closing and Elaine had never come for me. I was faced with what I had feared. The owners were asking me who I belonged to and how I had come to be there. The police were called and before long they arrived. I knew nothing of what would happen to me. I knew then that the police were collecting me from the rink, but I was not expecting that they would already know who I was when they got there. The officers told me that Elaine had indeed been in a very bad car accident. The car had been totaled, so crushed that the police had to cut Elaine free from the car using the jaws of life. As they loaded her into the ambulance, she said her little sister was at a skating rink. When the owners of the rink called the police to report me, two and two was put together. I was being driven to the hospital. They had already called our mother, who was on her way back to St. Louis. But she was hours away still. I felt as if the world was imploding beneath me as I climbed into the police car. I wondered if I alone would watch my sister die before our mom arrived at the hospital, if Elaine was that badly hurt. I felt mortally responsible for what Elaine had suffered. I felt that I should have done something drastic to prevent her from going out that night. I had been too quiet about my misgivings. I finally understood that all the fights between my mum and sister weren't the cyclic things I'd come to believe them to be. They were going somewhere very direct and very bad indeed, and I was going with them, willing or not. Which is the conclusion of round four. If you're paying attention, that means that next is round five, which I'll be recording in due course. I've actually just had a seizure, so it's a miracle that I'm up and recording this now, but I was determined to get round four completed today. Wishing all are well, and hope you're enjoying it, and lots more coming. Bye.